Invite the grown-ups to be seated and children of any age to come forward if you haven't made your way up yet. Well, if you were listening to the Bible reading that Miss Elizabeth read a minute ago, the very first word that she read was comfort. Sometimes we need comfort, don't we? There are times when I feel sad or lonely or maybe a little bit afraid. Maybe you feel that way too sometimes. And there are things that help us to feel better when we are afraid or sad or lonely. One of the things I always liked, especially when I was your age, was having a nice, soft, stuffed animal to hug on and to hold. And it always just kind of made me feel like I wasn't alone, like somebody was with me. Sometimes, if I'm feeling sad or lonely, I need a hug. And I'll ask someone in my family or one of my friends, can I just have a hug? And they don't even have to say anything. Just a hug makes me feel better. Makes me feel like I'm not alone. Sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, I read something that reminds me that God is always with me. Like the words that Miss Elizabeth read a minute ago. Remind me, God is always with me. And Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We all know that song, right? So, next time that you're feeling, maybe you're in bed at night and you're feeling a little scared, or there's something that's made you sad, or you're feeling kind of lonely, remember that God is always with you. And to remind you of that, maybe hold on to a warm stuffed animal, or ask somebody to give you a hug, or sing Jesus Loves Me, and know that God is always there to comfort us. Let's pray. Loving God, you are a God who is ready to comfort us whenever we need you. You're always with us, and we thank you for the many ways that you remind us of that. Help us also to be ready to comfort other people when they're sad, to give hugs, to say kind words, and to remind people how much you love them. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for listening so much. You can go back to where you were seated. Seated. Well, I don't use stuffed animals anymore. Although my daughter has some, and every now and then it is kind of comforting to hold a fluffy one. But I still need comforting sometimes. I think no matter what our age, we all go through seasons of life when we need comfort. We were talking in Bible study this past Tuesday about this word comfort and what it means, and someone said, you know, you need comfort when you're in a bad place, when you are afflicted, when you're hurting, when you're grieving. If you're comfortable, if all is going well, you don't necessarily need comfort. But comfort is something you need when you're hurting. And I would guess that most of us have spent time in a bad place. We've had seasons of our lives when we needed comfort. When we come to this 40th chapter of Isaiah, the Israelites are in need of comfort. They are in a dark and lonely place. If you were here last week, you might remember that sometime between chapter 39 and chapter 40, things have gone very badly for the Israelites. The Babylonian army has stormed into their land, has destroyed their temple and all of the walls of the city, and they have dragged off many of their people into exile in Babylon. And so when the 40th chapter of Isaiah opens, many of God's people are in exile, separated from their families, and those who are still in the land in Jerusalem are standing amidst a heap of rubble. And so they are lost, they are bereft, they are grieving. And so God brings up among them a prophet. A prophet who himself is in exile. He is sharing that pain and darkness with them. And God calls him forward and gives him a word to proclaim. Now, the way that God speaks words of comfort to the people as they are in exile, there's sort of two movements that we see in this 40th chapter of Isaiah. The first movement, something that God says in two different ways, is basically, I am with you, Israel. I have seen your suffering, and it has been terribly painful. Through the words of the prophet, God acknowledges the darkness and the exile. God doesn't gloss over it. God doesn't say, just get over it. God doesn't say, well, it hasn't been so bad. God says, you have suffered double for your sins. And then again, later in the passage, God names it again. Comfort my people, says God. Tell them that all people are like grass. The grass withers and the flower fades. Does that sound very comforting to you? Gee, I don't know about that. But here I believe God is naming the truth of their pain and their reality. This is a hard life, and placing it in the perspective of God. All things come and go. Even this terrible suffering that you are in right now will fade and pass. And if that doesn't offer us comfort, then we need to remember the second half of the phrase. All people are like grass. The grass withers and the flower fades. But the word of the Lord will stand forever. No matter what is going on in your life, God says, no matter the suffering that you have passed through or that you are in right now, God is with you, and God has always been with you. And God will never forsake you. You are not alone in this. That is the word of comfort that God offers through this first movement of this passage. The second movement that God makes through the prophet is to say, behold, God is on the way. We first hear it in these very familiar words, the valleys will be lifted up and the mountains will be brought low. Prepare the way, God is coming. The darkness is ending, your warfare is over. Prepare the way to receive your God. And then again, God calls the prophet, go up on the mountain and shout to the people, point to them, here is your God. Here is your God who has always been with you and is coming to you again like a shepherd. The prophet reminds the people that God is with them as a shepherd who will feed the lambs, who will hold the lambs in the shepherd's arms and take them on their journey. That God is there to provide every need, to hold you and carry you in the midst of your exile and to bring you out of it. So comfort comes when God names the pain, acknowledges the very real exile that they are in, and then God points them to the hope that God is with them and God will lead them out of that exile. So I wonder, have you experienced that kind of comfort in your life? Has God come to you in the form of a friend or a loved one or in the form of the scriptures to remind you that God is with you? Can you remember a moment in your life when you received that kind of comfort? I'll share with you an experience from my own life. Back in 2013, my mom passed away. She was 81 years old, but at the age of 70, she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So we had an 11-year journey with that disease. Someone has written a book about Alzheimer's called The Long Goodbye, and that's what it really was for me and my family. But in 2013, we got that phone call from the hospice nurse saying, the time is coming close. And so we all got together, all my siblings and I, and we all went to see her on a Sunday afternoon. We sang for her and prayed with her. And then we decided that we would take turns throughout the week however long it took, and we would keep vigil. Many of you have kept that holy vigil at the bedside of a loved one who was making their final journey, and it really is a holy time, though a painful time. So my turn came on Monday morning, and I went to NHC in Cool Springs and brought some books with me, and I was going to just be there for the day. And as I sat there, a knock came on the door, and it was a dear friend and colleague of mine named Mark. Wasn't expecting him to come by, but he sat down in the chair next to me and said, "I thought you might want to tell mom stories." He had lost his mom a few months before. And so we sat there together, swapping stories about our mothers and laughing together, and then lapsing into silence for a while, and then sharing some more stories. And then he prayed with me, and then he left. And his visit was one of the most comforting experiences I've ever had. Because he came into that room and he didn't try to fix it. He didn't try to say, "Oh, this is what this means," or to give it some moral of the story. He sat with me in that moment of exile. He shared it with me. He knew my grief and sat in it with me. But he didn't just do that. In the sharing of stories, he helped me remember that the life of my mother and the life of his mother was all held by God. That the grass grows, the grass withers, the flower fades. Her flower was fading, but all of her life was held by God. The life of her parents and grandparents and all of those who have come and gone before was all held by God. To say that it was a flower withering didn't mean that it wasn't beautiful and that it didn't matter to God. And so he reminded me of how God holds all of that. The word of God stands forever. And as we prayed together, he was able to say, "Here is your God. Behold your God. Even in this moment of pain and grief, God is with you. Here, look, behold. Your God is holding your life like a shepherd holds a lamb." And so on this second Sunday of Advent, we gather together and hear this word of the prophet, a word of comfort, as we prepare to receive Emmanuel, the one whose name means God with us. So if you are in a season of life where you need a word of comfort, hear the word of the Lord this morning, that God comes to you as a shepherd and holds your life. If you are in a place of joy and happiness, hear the call of the Lord this morning, a call to comfort. Oh, comfort my people. Comfort the afflicted. Who in your life is walking through a season of difficulty or pain or grief? Who are the afflicted in our community right around us where we are right now? And how might you and I be those who can sit with them in their exile and can proclaim with faith and hope, "Behold your God." Amen.